Excuse me, the recording's from started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds CCWG Charter Drafting Team call held on the 31st of August, 2016. On the call today, we have Olga Cavalli, Alan Greenberg, Sylvia Cadena, Tony Harris, and Jonathan Robinson. Our board liaison is Erica Mann. Our board staff support will be Samantha Eisner. We have listed apologies from Asha Hemrajani. From staff, we have Marika Koning, David Tate, Julie Hedlund, Lauren Allison, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. With this, I'll turn it back over to our moderator today, Jonathan Robinson. But Jonathan, before we start, we also have Russ Mundy joining us. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. Welcome, everyone. Welcome those of you who've had a bit of a break. Welcome back to you. And you would have seen the agenda circulated by Marika, who is able to listen in but probably not contribute too much. And we've got adequate staff supporting us with David, Julie, and Terry. So we should be fine, I'm sure. So you will have seen that there was the agenda there, and I guess we should take any comments on the agenda first of all, and make sure that if anyone has any concerns about that, and then we can go to look at the latest version of the charter that you've seen circulated. Okay, so that latest version of the draft was circulated, and what we thought we'd cover under this is really, it feels like it's worth under 2C actually going through and discussing the items, the various items flagged. But before we do that, we've previously gone through the comment review tool, and is there really any questions around that or any items that need to be discussed that are not flagged as yellow? I suspect we can pick up on B as we take a walk through the charter as it currently stands and deal with that. So any other sort of comments or questions in and around the way in which the public comments were addressed or items that you'd particularly like to call out before we take a walk through of the charter? Any comments or input at this stage? Okay, so seeing no hands and a couple of comments in the chat, thank you, Sylvia and Olga. And let's move on then to actually, if we could ask, I'm not sure who's loading the documents, but someone from staff, whoever's doing that. Erica, the agenda is up in the top right in the notes section, so not in the main portion of the screen. So if we could pull up the charter, and you will see that it's at a reasonably large scale anyway now, but you have scrolling and scaling rights. So I'll walk you through that. And just pick up on the various points. Now, there is one point. I just want to check if there's the yellow. There is. I see. We've got. Wondering about the yellow. Not sure I understand it. I understood. I should have asked Marika about this. I'm not sure I understand the point on things flagged as yellow. I can see the various changes from a red line point of view, but is the yellow the highlight on the comments, or where is the yellow flagging? I just want to make sure I understand exactly what it is. David, are you able to clarify that? Go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yes, my understanding is the yellow comments, the yellow highlighted comments that Marika was referring to as being the outstanding issue.
Yes, and this is Marika. I can add to that as well, and apologies, I'm an audio only and a bit in a noisy place, but indeed, the yellow comments are either issues that may need further input or where I just wasn't 100% sure that I could make that change without further drafting team discussion. So in some of them, it may be pretty straightforward because a certain suggestion is made, but it's just something where the drafting team may just need to say, well, fine with that, make that change, and we can and do it. And some of them, I think there were as well a couple of questions that I had.
Thanks, Marika. That's helpful. So what we'll do is we'll walk through and work through the charter now as it currently stands, and I will call out the various points where there's opportunity for input and discussion, and if there is none, it's fine. We don't need to dwell on things that there is effectively consensus to accept them as they are. It's really if you have the way they've been interpret or there's an obvious question with where things need to go. So in that spirit, I will start with the first point is at the end of the problem statement. And although the board's recent input is covered elsewhere, I added that in on my most recent edit. And so you'll see just ahead of goals and objectives on page one at the bottom of the problem statement, it says, not only says the historic position where we had the letter, the February 16 letter from Steve Crocker, we also indicated that further that the board has committed to enter into dialogue with CCWG, et cetera. I guess my question, and this is what I wanted to ask, is perhaps of the liaisons, perhaps of others, if we need further work on this, does this mean that the board is essentially committing to implementing the recommendations unless it doesn't believe it can accept them? Or it feels slightly, it's not quite clear to me. So, Alan, you put your hand up. Perhaps you want to add something from this first section, and then we'll come to Erica on that question.
Thank you. I put my hand up actually about something earlier in this section that I want to talk about. I'm presuming that that's what it means. And if it does, some clarity would be nice, but maybe there's a subtle difference, so I'll defer to Erica.
Thanks, Alan. Let's go to Eric on this point, and then you come back on your previous one
sure.
In a moment. So if you could drop your hand and re-raise it. On that previous.
Thank you, Jonathan and Alan. I can't see it on page one, just as a technical comment first. I find the reference to the board on page two, but probably this is just that I see it in a different way, the document, than you do. So I just give you a little bit of background. The board was a want to ensure that if a conflict arises, similar to what we discussed in the drafting team, that's a way of communicating between the different entities involved in this discussion. So I would recommend to keep the text as it is in the moment and not try to go back to the board and request further, further clarification. I think it is something we will have to test once the crisis arises, if the current language will satisfy all engaged and involved players. And my advice would be, and I think Asha would agree if she would be with us, and some probably as well. I know she's on the call. I would recommend to leave it as it is. The board is willing to communicate, and the board is more than willing to find a way in case a conflict arises. And I would not want, my personal opinion is not to elaborate on this any further, but to keep it as it is.
Thanks, Erica. And since I originated this particular comment, I mean, I would say two things. One, I'm perfectly fine with that. I think it's a reasonable position, and I'm happy to close the issue at that point. But I would still like to keep that second sentence added because I think it completes that final paragraph in that section, which commences from the board.
I have no problem with this, Jonathan, and I don't think so anybody would have a problem. I just can't find it.
Okay.
That's all. I can't see it.
Yeah, and by the way, my previous description, it is in the section, Erica, that begins, in fact, on page one, section two, problem statement, goals and objectives, and then we say problem statement, colon, we go on to state the problem, and it's at the bottom, it's the very last sentence in that section. But it's really a copy from the notes that Lauren sent to us. So I wouldn't expect anyone would have a problem, and I'm happy to accept your point that this doesn't need further work. So I think we can probably move on to Alan. Okay, thanks, Erica. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm back a couple of paragraphs, the one about proceeds, the one that starts, the new GTLD auction proceeds are distinct. Second paragraph on the page. We asked the question about asking for some detail and clarity on how the money is segregated, how it's invested, and where the interest accrues. And I think to avoid having, for transparency, and to avoid having to answer that question multiple times, I think we should put it into that paragraph. So I think we should include a statement saying where it says they have a separate bank investment accounts. I think we should say the money is invested very conservatively and any interest accrues to the fund.
Seems uncontroversial, and assuming no one disagrees, we can simply accept that there's an additional further detail to that paragraph to cover what has been previously communicated in that regard. Thanks, Alan. Looking down then through the document further, the next point of discussion we get to will be, just check, it is on now page three, and this is a topic which we've touched on once or twice before, if not more, and this is when we in fact it first comes up, it's the use of not inconsistent in two cases at the top of page three. Frankly, I thought we'd rolled back to consistent with, but perhaps not, and Sylvia has suggested that we essentially make this comment or this input consistent with the other comments in the document and use the term align. So unbiased distribution or can proceeds aligned with. Frankly, I think consistent and aligned are in some ways similar. Personally, if it was a choice between the two, I would think I'd prefer consistent, but I understand why Sylvia suggested align. It's been used elsewhere in the document. So where do we stand on this point now? Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, we are using a line. Some places we use not inconsistent, and I think in fact we use another variation somewhere else. I actually favor the multiple terms because it conveys more of the flavor, if you will, of what we're trying to say. And since aligned with is not a really well-defined term, I think fleshing it out more with multiple terms will provide more insight into the CCWG members than just using a single term, which is not well-defined. I don't feel adamant about this, but I think it does give a better tone. That's it.
Thanks, Alan. And then we had talked about the whether or not the use of consistent was more, in a sense, narrow than not inconsistent. So why don't you come in on this point, Sylvia, since it's a point you've raised. Men on audio.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, Sylvia.
Yes. Thank you, Jonathan. I refer then to all of you that are English speakers, some other talk, to
be able to find a word that is better, but I do think that it's way more important to have consistency in the document, because I try to imagine how an applicant, in what position we will, the CCWG and later on the mechanism to allocate the funds will put an applicant that is trying to explain how their mission is not inconsistent with ICANN. And that organization is coming also from a developing country that their English is not as good as yours. So in trying to be inclusive and as clear as possible, I think that consistency is way more important. Thank you.
Sylvia, I see that point, actually. The double negative is potentially confusing in its own use there. And second, that to the extent that it's possible, the document should be self-consistent. Personally, what I would expect to do is once we set substance of the document, I'll personally, from a chair point of view, want to at least go through the document sort of editorially to make sure it is as self-consistent as possible and expressive and doesn't have grammatical and other weaknesses. But on the substance, there is, I mean, it has previously been discussed that not inconsistent is potentially broader than consistent. So if we go with a line, I prefer consistent, but I do think we need some guidance from others. I mean, I know Erica said in the chat that she prefers consistent. I know that Alan has that. So go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, thank you. I think I'm the one who originally proposed not inconsistent because it is broader than consistent. You know, the gray ground is excluded from consistent, but is not excluded from not inconsistent. However, with regard to what Sylvia said, I totally agree that by the time we come to the place where applicants are submitting applications, they have to be given better guidance than this varied number of words. But what we're drafting are the rules for the CCWG. They may end up with something much narrower than what we're talking about as a result of their deliberations, or they may end up with things that are very specifically targeted. What we're doing is giving them their guidelines, not providing the guidelines for the future applicants, and that's why I think broadness and flexibility is something that we want to allow them to have, so we don't limit what they're doing. And that's why I like, you know, using my flowery terms, why I like different flavors presented to them, so they can work and come up with something that is indeed consistent and clear for the final applicants. But we're at a different level than that at this point. Thank you.
Alan, notwithstanding that point, which I think I understand and you've articulated well, we've got Sylvia wanting consistent, Erica preferring consistent. Can you live with us going back to the use of consistent transmission? Because that will get us past this point, potentially.
I very reluctantly, because I think we've narrowed the focus a lot from the original intent when the applicant guidebook was written, and the board may well provide guidance during the CCWG that narrows it again. I would not like us to narrow it at this point, and I think that's what we're doing. So that's my worry. Ultimately, it may end up being very narrow, but I don't think we're the balance group that should be making that decision.
Sylvia and Erica lined up to speak after you, so let's hear from Sylvia. Your mic looks open, but we don't hear you. I'm quite sure what's going on there.
Do you want Sylvia first, or do you want me first?
Sylvia was first in queue. I don't hear her, Erica.
Sylvia wrote a comment.
see that. Okay, so why don't you pick things up? So Sylvia's comment is that notwithstanding the acceptance of different words to the documents, she's still not happy with the double negative and would prefer to go with essentially consistent. Go ahead.
Look, I had this discussion before, and I see Alan's point, and I think he has a very valid point, and he made a comment before. Because we are at the phase where more openness as recommendation to the CCWG might make more sense, and I think it's a danger. It will be narrowed down in the future. I'm more than willing to support Alan. I supported him before, and I backstepped to consistent, but I'm happy to support him because I think from a strategic point, looking at the process, I don't think so. It is super important and super relevant. So it's better we go with the broader context Alan is giving us with his formulation. And during the CCWG process, if needed, it can always be narrowed down again.
Erica, unfortunately for me at least, and I suspect others, your audio is coming out. Can Terry or David from staff just confirm?
Hi, Jonathan. It's Terry. I confirm, Erica, your audio was cutting in and out. I see you're only
Erica,
connected on the Adobe Connect.
Thanks, Terry. So David confirmed in the chat. So it was, okay, thanks, Erica. Understood. It may be better to come in by phone if possible, Erica. But anyway, doing that. So it looks like we've got, on balance, a view to stick with not inconsistent. And Sylvia, what I will commit to you is that we'll go through this document with a fine tooth comb once we settle on the substantial points, including this one, and try and do my best to work, and possibly with Alan, certainly I will do it, and make sure that the document is self-consistent and as clear and plain English as possible. Even, again, recognizing Alan's point that the real essence of important clear communication will ultimately be to end users and applicants, but I think at every stage of the way we should strive for clear, plain English communication, and so we can commit that to you. So I suggest to you we move on beyond that point now, given the balance of views from Russ, Erica, Alan, and so on, and for the moment, and then just look at making sure the document is as clear as possible. I'm going to scroll down now we go on to as part of its deliberations, and we have the second use of not inconsistent with. And before I go on to the Marika Koenig's comment at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th, just hear from Alan because you're...
Yeah, I want to talk about the one of campaign funds. I think that's the one Marika is going to address also. So I'll make my comment and let her cover any further things. My understanding is this one is not a limitation that we're putting on for some philosophical reason, but it is one of the things that the U.S. tax law requires. And therefore, I think we should explicitly say that. As per U.S. tax law, the CCWG must include a limitation or something like that, because it's not something that we're pushing for on our own philosophy. It's to protect our tax status, and the subtleties of what we will have to do in other jurisdictions to make sure our U.S. tax status is protected is something that's going to require some investigation. But that's going to be the driver of how narrowly or widely we set the restrictions in other jurisdictions. So I think we should make it clear to the CCWG why this one is there. Thank you.
That's a really good point, Alan. I mean, I think what we've attempted to do here, and maybe you're criticizing the way in which we've landed, is that what we've said is there's clearly a tax-driven or tax status-driven point which says that funds mustn't be used to lobby in terms that that means in the U.S. But I think we've also attempted to make this globally fair. Perhaps the way to fix it, so Sam says plus one, I've got Olga saying plus one too. So I just wonder whether clearly what we need in the wording of that bullet point, and maybe we need to go back to Sam or someone to help us with actually rewording that point to say exactly what we mean and why we mean it. I think the second intent there, and we might want to think about that intent, is we wouldn't want to, in a sense, I suppose, we'd want to be fair to applicants from all over the world. So if this, in some way, we wouldn't want to create a sort of loophole which permitted activities outside of the U.S. that weren't permitted within the U.S. So that's the only other point I would say, is how do we make it sort of globally inclusive rather than applying to U.S. applicants only. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, but that's exactly the point. The term lobbying has very different meanings outside of the U.S. Compared to the U.S., but since we are trying to satisfy U.S. tax law, I suspect, and I'm not a lawyer on this, so I'm not going to say definitively, I suspect it is the U.S. definition of lobbying that we are prohibiting, not someone else's definition of something that is perfectly illegal within the U.S., and therefore it will not cause a problem with U.S. tax law. So I, that's the way I read it, and therefore, if that's correct, we need to make sure that's how the CCWG interprets it. Have we lost John? Okay.
Go ahead. Sylvia, would you like to speak? And of course.
And Jonathan, this is Terry. Earlier in the chat, Sylvia had commented that she's having difficulties with her mic and she would type in the chat area.
Thanks. I'll recognize that remains the point. Okay, so here's my suggestion to you that what we need here, it seems, is we need to revert back to the wording here, perhaps from Sam, but that was in the previous memo, and we need to get wording that deals with the specific problem. There may be an open item as to how that applies, if at all, outside of the U.S., but I think the point is well taken that we really want to clarify what the issue is in the U.S. and make sure that's properly and singularly worded for, and then decide if there's any additions we want to make. Go ahead, Sam.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Sam Eisner for the record. I'm happy to look at this and try to clean up the language to reflect that. I think that it makes sense, as Alan suggested, to make that tie into U.S. tax law so that people understand which jurisdiction's definition you look for when you're looking at this type of activity. And then also, Jonathan, as you noted, you know, bring in that concept of that global application so that we're not favoring one jurisdiction over another, but we have some sort of reference in the document as to the standard that we're looking at that would be applied globally. So I'm happy to take a look at that language.
Thanks, Sam. I think that will be helpful. And thank you, David, because you seem to be on it in terms of capturing these points. Sylvia, if that's a new hand, please feel free to contribute. If not, do lower your hand.
Just hope that the audio works. I think it would be really good that you take also a look at the how this kind of limitation is used, for example, on USAID grants, and that actually has an impact. It's a reference to tax status and things like that about the organizations in the U.S. that allocate funds from the U.S. government, let's say, to organizations overseas. But it also has an impact, and it's something that I mentioned before when we discussed it and tried to make it a little bit more global and not only focusing on the tax status issue. If funds can be used for campaigns and influence legislation overseas, let's say, and that doesn't impact on U.S. status, some governments might actually preclude organizations from their own economies to receive those funds or apply for them because they might be used to go against them. So that I think that the application is global, although it is rooted or started as a conversation around protecting the tax status, it will also allow or encourage other organizations from other countries to apply where the same or even tighter restrictions apply. Thank you.
Thanks, Sylvia. Is that a hand in response to that point? Would you like to come back on it?
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Sam again. Thanks, Sylvia, for that. I think that what my inclination would be to leave this at a principal level within the drafting team, within the charter, and allow some of that further research to happen during the CCWG proceeds. I'm worried that level of research would push back the timeline of us getting to the charter and would still require a lot of intensive look at that during the work of the CCWG itself. And so what I'd like to do is try to present some language that helps reflect this in a principled state of we have a law that or some tax regulations that we have to be mindful of, and they preclude this. We need to make sure that it's reflected appropriately at the global stage, that it, so we're treating applicants equally, and maybe even add in something that the chartering organization, or I'm sorry, the CCWG itself could consider how these types of restrictions are included at other international grant-making levels, so that we don't hold up the delivery of the charter any further to get some additional research at this point.
Seems to capture it well. I see a check from Alan, and let's give you the opportunity to do that. And I do recognize your point about making sure we capture the essence or the principle of the charter drafting stage without, unduly restrict work of the CCWG. So let's give you an opportunity to take a crack at that, and hopefully that can get us to where we need to be, having heard the various inputs. All right, the next comment it's called commented J5, and that's one further down on page 3. And I simply was looking for, that's my comment, where we dealt with the mandatory disclosures. And in fact, it is dealt with later in the document, so we can simply move on beyond that. Mandatory disclosures. We've really only got one bullet on mandatory disclosures, but we'll come to that at a later stage. Of course, if there is any other of the highlighted text, or the red line type text, which is coming up in my screen, is blue line anyway. But please do come in. But the next comment that I see is from Sylvia, her comment 6, which is on page 4 under bullet point 4. That's comment SC6. And Sylvia was looking here for consideration to be taken to ensure that the time frame focuses on effective use of funds, not only for speed of disbursement and expenditure. It's important to consider the use to support long term. Okay. Alan, did you want to?
I'm on another item, so let's finish this one first.
So what we have here is that we say that the group must, CWG must deal with the expected time frame for disbursements and termination of the framework. And Sylvia is looking for consideration to ensure that the time frame focuses on the effective use of funds. Question I would put to the group is it necessary to go to specify this at this detail, or is this something we can understand that will be able to be handled in the CCWG? Because at this point we've just said what is the expected time frame for disbursements and termination. It's a good point, I think, Sylvia. The question is, from my point of view, is does it need to be?
Yeah.
And I see Erica says you recommend to be a bit more cautious and not to recommend language that keeps the time frame too open. Any other comments or thoughts on this point?
It's Alan. Why are we worried about it taking too long? If this money lasts forever, because dispersing it in a reasonable, rational, useful way allows it to continue to be used for 15 years, why is that bad? I don't understand the compulsion. And I'm agreeing with Sylvia. I worry that if we're saying focus on the termination, that may be taken to be in lieu of doing it properly. So I do have a similar concern to Sylvia.
You too have a concern about the use of the termination in this point. So maybe it would be adequate to say what is the expected time frame for disbursements, and perhaps termination is what's causing the problem here, because in essence, once you have a time frame, you do have a termination, but the CCWG could deal with that. So maybe just what is the expected time frame for termination? Maybe that gets around the problem.
Yeah, I have no problem asking it, as long as it's not interpreted as that is, there a compelling reason that this has to be over quickly? And maybe there is, but I don't understand what it is. So,
well, as it turns out, I mean, I don't. To my mind, termination doesn't do it. But I see Erica seems happy to delete termination. So why don't I put that proposal to you? We just say, what is the expected time frame for disbursements of the framework, or from the framework is probably more. Correctish, but because by definition, if you have a time frame, you have an end point to that time frame. Yeah, and I think Sylvia's point goes beyond that and seeks to say, well, make sure you don't only consider a disbursement, but effective use. So, I mean, what I would read Sylvia's modification to is the expected time frame for disbursement and effective funds. Sylvia, would you like to come in on audio?
Thank you, Jonathan. The way I interpret this is that if we only refer to the term disbursement and the termination is in the mix, and there are no guidelines to CCWG on what the time frame might actually involve, then they might run quickly to say, let's get this over, let's allocate these funds very quickly so that we can forget about them and there is less chances for discussion or controversy or problems in the future. The problem is that when you decide what the expected time frame for disbursements are, in reality what you are deciding is how long proposals or work to be funded through this type of funding, let's say, not to say grants, will take. So, for example, if someone applies for a project that is a long-term project that is about the stability of the network and it's a 5-10 year implementation process, they cannot receive the funding all up front. That would be very irregular. So you will be saying, okay, the time frame for disbursement is 3 years, and then everybody will receive the money over 3 years. If the projects are implemented over a long period of time, then ICANN will require reporting, as we are saying later on in the document. So if we are requiring reporting, this process has to accompany it or follow or get some sense of what's going on with the investment staff. If we say the time frame for allocation, for disbursement, so is determined X number of years or whatever to get rid of the millions of dollars that are in the ICANN Proceeds Fund, then in reality what we are saying is how long projects that can apply for the funding can be, and then we might restrict ourselves to very short-term periods. So that's my concern. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sylvia. I think I understand your concern. I'm just not sure that I understand that the wording necessarily causes that concern, but let's be thoughtful about this and see. Erica, you go ahead next.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can hear me. No, you can't hear me.
I can hear you, Erica.
So, you can?
Okay, there's a delay, so just be patient and just pause, but fine.
So, I understand to Sylvia. To be financed. So I think the concern Sylvia raised is, I think it's not, I don't think that we have to reframe the text because of her concern. Maybe, Jonathan, that is more appropriate and covers which is not careful and which will not allow long-term projects to be supported.
Erica, I'm sorry. It's very difficult to hear you. It seems like there's a weak connection, and what's happening is it's buffering you, and we get a little bit, and then it goes quiet, then we get a little bit. So it's not hard. It's hard to get a coherent output from you. So David suggests that perhaps a call out is arranged. I think that would be helpful if you could be on telephone or mobile phone and if you have signal there. So we'll make a call out to Erica. A little stuck on this one. What is the expected time frame for disbursements and termination? I think I understand the concern. Perhaps we need to reflect on this. We can hear from Erica. Let's move on to Alan's other point for the moment. And once we have Erica on audio, we can try and see if we can figure it out, or we might have to do some work offline on dealing with the concern, but not managing this point. I'm not quite sure where to go with this one. Alan, why don't you go ahead, and we'll leave this open for the moment, David, just so you know.
Thank you very much. I'm talking about the addition that was added to point number two on the reference to distorting the domain name market.
The reference to distorting the domain name market.
We seem to have an echo now. I'm a little bit worried about that. I'm not 100% sure I understand it, but one of the poster children, as it were, uses of this money might be in a future round to help applicants from developing economies or something like that. And that implicitly could be viewed by those who are not in developing economies as distorting the domain name marketplace. And are we really forbidding that, or does this have some other meaning?
Let's see if anyone else wants to respond to this. I read through this two or three times today, and I actually started to type up potentially some alternative wording, and then eventually I just sort of thought, actually, as it stands, it seemed okay to me. I was prepared to accept it because what it says is consideration is expected to be given to what safeguards, if any, need to be in place. It doesn't presume that they will. It's just it's recognizing that if they are, that's my two cents worth, absent any other comments as to whether this is appropriate to retain as it is at the moment.
Jonathan, if I may respond, it does say what safeguards, if any, but it then goes on to say to avoid providing advantages to companies and or organizations that would distort domain name market. So there's an implied statement there that providing advantages to some companies is a bad thing. And that's my concern. Maybe it is a bad thing, but I thought that was one of the examples that people thought might be a good use of this money. So I just don't want to inadvertently rule out that kind of use if indeed that is, one of the desired outcomes or potentially desired outcome.
Okay. Well, this is currently contained as a supplement to the primary part of point two. Another way of looking at it would be without the supplement, is point two adequate? Let's hear from Russ and Tony because they've obviously got some input here. Russ.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think this is a very challenging issue to try to handle because the statement about not distorting or disturbing the domain name could really be extended to other things also. And when you have a large fund of money, you will have an impact on market forces, whether it's intended or unintended. And I'm not sure that there's anything that we can do in particular to say that won't happen, or certainly nothing that I can think of that would go in the charter that would, give guidance to the CCWG that would say, don't do this, because with this amount of money, it's almost impossible to not cause some amount of some type of market disruption. Thank you.
I'll go straight to Tony since you haven't had a chance to talk yet on these and other subjects. Go ahead, Tony.
If the developing country. Chris.
Tony, your mic is open. Speak.
Tony, it's Terry. You were muted on the Verizon side just because there was some noise coming back from you, but you're unmuted now. Your line is open.
Hello? Hello?
We can hear you saying hello.
Hello? Hello?
We can hear you saying hello.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was just told I was on mute for some echo problem. Can you hear me now without an echo?
You're perfect.
Oh, fine. Thanks a lot. No, I just wanted to say that this is a very interesting issue. And when things like this come up, traditionally in ICANN, people in the registry and registrar industries get a little nervous sometimes. I've seen that happen when we've sort of presented things from the LAC region, sort of trying to get some consideration to promote people in Latin America participating in these industries. And the first thing you get is, of course, well, that's giving unfair advantage, and that shouldn't happen. And I think this would be probably part of that same argument. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Alan, do you want to come back further on this point?
Yeah, I just wanted to give one other example. One of the things we also have talked about, and something that ICANN has encouraged at some level, is what is the follow-on to the DNS? You know, what is the son of the DNS? If there should be a project to investigate some alternative, for instance, or develop an alternative, that could kill the domain name market, because something else is going to replace it, and certainly would change it as we know it now. And yet, I would think that would be a dandy use of some of this money. So I think we need to be really careful here.
I was tempted to make a flippant remark, but I think it's a good point. So Sylvia proposed something which I think is very helpful, because we could strip it back, which is what I originally was wondering, whether we strip it right back to the black text ending in a question mark. But it's clear, as Sylvia points out, that this was raised a few times, and it seems to me the fix will be to do as Sylvia suggests, and my temptation is to agree with that, to include the sentence after the question mark that commences "this should," and to include the sentence beginning "furthermore consideration is expected to give," but to stop it at the point after "place." So we remove from "to avoid providing advantage." We just simply ask what safeguards, if any, need to be in place. And I think, to my mind, that addresses the concern or gives the capacity to the CCWG to address the concern without going down into too far into the second half of that sentence. So that's my proposal to you to get past this point. I see a check mark from Alan. And a pause for Sylvia and Eric is typing. A check mark from Russ. So, David, I think that's the direction. If you can record that, I think that feels like the direction we're going in. And Sylvia also confirms her agreement there with a check mark and a comment in the chat. So, David, if you could deal with that in that way, that's the way to handle that modification. All right, moving then on to we acknowledge we didn't complete the work on SC6, but we go on to SC7. Under item 7, we say, should ICANN oversee the solicitation evaluation proposal or delegate to another entity? This is a question for the CCWG, including, for example, a foundation created for this purpose. And Sylvia suggests, or a partnership with an existing organization. That doesn't seem too controversial to me. Any thoughts or any disagreement? Or so it would read, or a foundation or partnership a foundation created for this purpose or partnership with an existing organization. Okay, and so Sam highlights the introduction of the concept of partnership may be challenging from a legal point of view. There may be a quick fix here, and I'll come to you now, Alan, but for example, one way of doing it is just to exclude the example. Should ICANN oversee the solicitation and evaluation of proposals or delegate to another entity? End of point. Alan?
Yeah, I my hand is actually raised for another point later on, but I think anything, I'm happy with any solution here. I think what Sylvia is saying is we should be allowing flexibility and not prescribing a particular solution. And mentioning a foundation, I think, is useful, for example, or as an example, but not, but not limiting a foundation can be created. Some words like it. So I think it's useful to mention the term foundation. We've been talking about foundation for about 6 or 7 years right now with the use of these funds. So I don't think it would be inappropriate to mention it, but we certainly don't want to limit it to that. I suspect we can come up with some words easily to say that.
I have a hand up from Erica, so I'll go straight to Erica. Sylvia, you've got a sort of check mark chat for people just in the
I mean, just a quote short comment.
I'm not sure if you have seen it. The summit recommendation to use the coordination. Coordination.
I think this makes total sense.
It's sometimes problematic if you want to combine two organizations in financial and in terms. It can be problematic for legal reasons. So sometimes instead of partnership, I mean,
problematic if you want to combine
the word coordination.
Two organizations in financial and terms. It can be problematic for legal reasons. So instead of partnership, I mean, let's just word you.
Thanks, Erica. We've got an echo coming from you. We've got loud and clear audio, but it's damaged by an echo, which is either coming from it seems your computer's microphone or speakers. So if you could try and deal with that. It seems to me that, as Alan says, we've got, for example, a foundation. It is just an example, but the way to fix this might be to say, should ICANN oversee the solicitation and evaluation of proposals or delegate to another entity or coordinate with another entity, including, for example, a foundation. So we could bring in the coordination with a third party and if Sam's okay with the use of that and not causing us a problem. So I would suggest, David, that we try and introduce coordination into that point, and that should the use of the word coordination. We may not be able to wordsmith it exactly now, but to try and recognize that point. Exactly, as Alan suggests in the chat, delegate to or coordinate with another entity, including, for example, a fund. It seems we have an answer there. Alan, you had another point, so let's go on to that point.
Yeah, I'm not sure where we are. I think I'm just not scrolled properly. This is on item number 12 in that section. To what extent, and if so, how ICANN, the organization, how could ICANN, the organization, be a beneficiary of some of the auction funds? I would tend to say ICANN, the organization, or one of its constituent parts. I can imagine I'll give you know the personal example. The ALAC are at large getting some money to do some good, you know, partially using its own infrastructure. That would be different in my mind through the money being given to ICANN, sort of in its general funds. Financially, it would still clearly go to ICANN, but it's targeted at a specific application. And I would add a couple of words to make that clear, that it's not going to ICANN as the body itself, but for a particular application or usage. The other thing is, which is just the opposite, what if we were to say one of the uses that it could be put to is putting $60 million into the reserve? That's going to ICANN, the organization. So,
good point, Alan. As I read it, it reads as was intended. But I take your point that it could be that it doesn't necessarily cover what you would want it to, or it's not broad enough. So I understand your suggestion to be to what extent, and if so, how could ICANN, the organization, or a constituent part of, or a constituent part, be the beneficiary? So you want to add or a constituent part.
You phrased it much better than I had in my head, but yes, that's exactly correct.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Let's just we can provisionally accept that. Let's see if others have a response or a concern to that. Erica?
Is the connection better this time? Can you hear me now?
We can.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. My God. So I think that's a good formulation. We just have to be cautious that we don't recommend that any money which shall be spent from the operational budget in the future shall come from the auction proceed fund. So it must be clear that wherever the money will go to, in case there's a request either from the community or from ICANN, for example, for the reserve fund, it must be a clearly defined specific purpose, something which is bigger than the normal operational function of a for a particular goal. So maybe we can infuse maybe one word so that it's clear it is something specific for a specific purpose or for a specific goal.
Thanks, Erica. I think that's a really good point, although in my view, that argument that you've just put forward is exactly what one would put forward in answer to this question in the working group. Because at the moment, the charter just says, to what extent? How should this be limited? And your answer, your partial answer is, well, it shouldn't be used for operational funds. So I think, in my opinion, that may be going a step too far, although I happen to, I think, understand and agree with you. My thought back to you would be the question is adequate as it stands from the point of view of the drafting.
Yeah, makes sense. If you keep it with the questions and you don't go further, that's fine.
Okay, thanks, Erica. Let's go to Tony next.
Yes, can you hear me? Hello?
Tony. Yes, Tony.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to say that I agree with what Alan said about constituent parts. I mean, a good example would be that some of those funds could reinforce the efforts on universal acceptance because getting universal acceptance in place all over the world is going to benefit the internet users in general. Did you hear me?
We're hearing you well.
Hello?
Okay, I'm a little nervous because I keep getting muted by somebody. So, but thank you.
Thanks, Tony. We got you loud and clear about the universal acceptance. So I think, David, you should have already got the suggested change from much earlier. And let me just check that indeed you did. Yes, you've got it. Thank you. So that's good. The notes reflect that discussion. So let's keep things moving. And I know to make a point on point 11. So, Sam, point 11 is what governance framework should apply. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. My question was on 11. I understand that this language was brought in probably particularly in response to an item that the board raised in the note that it sent during Helsinki. When I look at just the language that says what governance framework should apply, I think it's a very broad statement, and there could be a lot of effort used to try to define that. I'd recommend, and I'd be happy to take a stab at putting in some additional language that brings in some of the context from that board, the board note, so that this doesn't seem like it's a whole task unto itself, and it's not trying to set up boards or that sort of thing, but really trying to get to the more measures of success type things that the board had raised. So if the group would be amenable to that, I'd be happy to suggest some further defining language to make this a clearer and easier task for the CCWG to take on.
Objections or concerns with that? I think it's, thank you for the suggestion, Sam. Alan is supportive. Erica is supportive. All right, Sam, that would be great. Thank you. We'll record that and ask you to go ahead with providing us with some more specific wording, because I agree it's a little bit of a concern that it's so wide.
Great. Thanks.
Okay, let's move on then and keep things ticking over. Sylvia, point on item 10 noted your point about a typo. Like I say, I personally will commit to going through this editorially. Erica, I think that's an old hand, but let me just defer to you in case there's something you want to come back on.
Yeah, it's an old hand, but I think you wanted to go back to point 4 because you couldn't hear me.
Yes, please do. Thank you for reminding me that, because one of the reasons we didn't complete it was because we were waiting for your input. So go ahead, Erica.
Exactly, and you couldn't hear me. So point 4, I think what I would recommend, because I think both ways of looking at it are right. The language is a little bit confusing, and I think the confusing part comes from the word framework in this context, because framework has practically determination of framework, and the word framework has no context. What is the framework? The framework could be the contract, the termination of an individual and single contract within a defined time period, or it could have a meaning that the reference of the framework could reference to the total of the auction proceeds allocation of the total money. So it's a little bit confusing, the term. So maybe we should be clearer here. And because I can't see the text well where I am, it's a little bit difficult to make a recommendation. But I'm happy to send a recommendation to you a bit later or tomorrow morning, and maybe differentiate the point Sylvia was making and the way the language is framed right now. Because I think what we want to recommend to the CCWG is be careful and have the program running in an open sense without looking for a time period. But on the other side, we want to have clearance, or we want to make a recommendation about having clear procedures set up in the future for the way the individual programs are going to be allocated. And this can include what Sylvia wants. She wants to have the possibility that that longer programs which take more time, that they will be not cut off by any kind of recommendation to have a short period recommended. So I understand it. So if you allow me, I'm happy to make a recommendation for a language.
Thanks, Erica. Personally, I welcome that contribution. I think that that would be great. I happen to agree with you that the use of framework is problematic here and maybe may well be worth deleting. And I think then you've got this natural tension, which you seem to have got, and Sylvia is grateful too for your offer of this. The tension seems to be between recognizing that this is a what you might call a closed-ended fund. It's not necessarily going to be topped up and therefore has to be finite, but not so finite or terminal that it doesn't deal with longer-term projects, which is Sylvia's concern. So, yes, please, do go ahead, and if you think you can deal with that, that would be most welcome. So let's allow you to make that contribution, and that would be great.
Yep, understood. Thank you.
Right, I'm going to work my way down through the next point, which comes in under Section 4, page 5. And here I made a very minor suggestion, although it did respond to Sylvia's concern. And Sylvia had said in the first bullet where this is Section 4, Membership Criteria, page 5, first bullet, and it says, have sufficient and appropriate interest and ideally expertise to participate. And Sylvia was looking for something which meant desire or willingness. When I looked at that, I thought motivation is really what we're talking about here. We want to at least state that we really want motivated and ideally qualified participants. But when we say interest, I think we mean motivation here. So that's my proposal to respond to Sylvia's concern or point here. Sylvia, would that be helpful? Does that meet your requirement? And, you know, if others have concerns, let me know. Otherwise, I think we'll go on. So Sylvia confirms that motivation meets that requirement. I think it does as well. So let's keep moving. And now we come to a point on page 6 where we have a paragraph beginning about two-thirds of the way down, which says, begins all members. And we go on, and this goes to my earlier question, where do we specify the specific points on disclosures? And we go on to say, look, we're going to have a statement of interest from everyone, and we're going to have mandatory disclosures. And we then go on to say, well, our mandatory disclosure is that, and in fact, I modified this slightly, so be aware that this is slightly modified in the latest version from me. It says, declaration on intention to apply for or in any way support the application for new GTLD auction proceeds, either as an individual and or through the entity. In other words, we've got a strong disclosure. We're saying we want to know if you have any intention, not just that you're going to, but if you have any intention to support or participate in the application for funds. So the question is that well worded enough? I happen to think it's not bad as it stands. But second, are there more mandatory disclosures we require? What else do we need here? Alan?
Yeah, I would tend to add to the end, or otherwise funded by or affiliated with. People don't always have employment relationships, but have a vested interest. We have the concept of lobbyists. We have the concept of people volunteering for something, but, they're not paid for it. But nevertheless, they have a strong vested interest in seeing a specific outcome. So I think we need to cover all of our bases there.
Good point, Alan. So you say it would be either as an individual and or through the entity you are representing and or employed by and or affiliated with.
Otherwise funded by or affiliated with.
Okay. And or otherwise by or affiliated with. And then Sylvia also makes a point that or in any way support might be or in the application. I think this will need a bit of wordsmithing, but the important thing to do is to capture that point there of endorsement. So if you could, David, in terms of modifying it, we need to introduce endorsement there. So in any way, support/endorse. And we can always tidy up the wording. The key is to get the principles in here. Erica.
I think there's maybe something else we would want to recommend. And so what is typical procedure, and I have worked in funding environments a big part of my life, so I think it could be good to recommend that if anything changes with regard to conflict of interest, there must be a requirement included that the member will have to report this. Because keep in mind, we might talk about a fund which runs between 5 and 10 years. We don't know for how long. And the interest raised at the beginning or a conflict of interest might either fade away because at the end the organization decides not to request a fund, or during the period the interest changes and a request will be made. So I think it is important that whenever a change occurs, the person or the organization, in our case the person at the CCWG, will have to declare this.
That's a very good point, and Sylvia supports you as, in addition, Erica. So I think that feels like a separate and second bullet point, that it is mandatory to report any changes in...
I agree with you. It's a separate.
Thanks, Erica. Alan?
Sorry, old hand.
Any further disclosures? If you do think of them, please come back, because we're going to try and we'll come on to time frame in a minute, but we are going to try and see if we can't do something about bringing this to a head and making sure we don't want to keep this work on this charter group open forever. So Mika points out that a bit of editing. Seems half the idea was lost. I've made some edits to simplify this sentence. Yeah, I'm not worried about Marika's edit. That seems fine. And again, I'll reiterate that I would expect to go through this and review it for consistency and coherency of language. So personally, I don't have a concern with Marika's edit. And it appears that Erica agrees with that. It's just a tidy up. Let's keep working through then. You'll see some minor plurals and minor editorial changes. Let's look for if there's any other very substantial points. Okay, so just to note here that under section at the top of page 10, submission of CCW recommendations to the ICANN board, we've added for a second time that wording which was received from Lauren representing the board view, which is that the ICANN board of directors will enter into dialogue. So that's just at the bottom of that first section on page 10. And then the modification of the charter, we include reference to that memo on legal and financial considerations. Right. I see no other points here. So before we move on and start to look at the deadline, I'll just remind you, we're at 10 to the hour. We're 8 minutes before the top of the hour when ideally we would finish. And Sylvia says we made it to the last one, which is a sigh of relief. So I think we now come on to time frame for final review and comments and a target date for sharing the charter. We've committed to make some minor points. We've got two coming in from Sam. We've got one from Erica. I'm certainly going to committed to a review. I mean, I would imagine we could do this. Let me just have a look at where we are in terms of the week itself. And our week finishes on the 2nd. If we could come back with these modifications in 48 hours, we could then give ourselves a week to review that the document with those final modifications in it, and potentially shipping this out to the chartering organizations shortly after that. And bear in mind what we said here, this is key. We're not shipping them out the charter and saying, here's our draft charter, please approve it. We're saying, here's our draft charter, can you give us feedback, anything of substance that will impede you approving it? So that's the provisional timetable I'd suggest to you. Modifications in 48 hours, review for another up to another week, and then early the following week, around the September 12th, we post it to the chartering organizations for indications of whether there are any showstoppers as such, to prevent them, and we take that round of feedback. Personally, it feels like it's putting a bit of speed on things, but not unduly. It feels like we're ripe enough with this work that we could do something. So if you're okay with it, that's my suggested time frame to try and work with. So I guess Sam, Erica, anyone else who's committing, you know, can you come back within 48 hours on these points, given how busy you might be with other things? Great. So it seems we're supportive of that time frame. It's an interesting one then, when we might have our next meeting, because the question is, do we need to meet before sending this off? I mean, our kind of meeting cycle would normally be, we're meeting today being the 31st, we would normally meet either on the 14th, I guess, 2 weeks from now, but perhaps we might want to bring that forward and meet simply a week from now, to do a final check. Thank you, Terry. I was aware of that board workshop, which will cause a problem anyway. So I just wonder if we shouldn't come back together in about a week's time and just do a final check with this, or at least, how do others feel about that? Alan supportive, Sylvia supportive. Well, then, staff, I'd like you to please look at a meeting for us. I guess let's give ourselves a bit of flexibility. Let's look at 7th, 8th, 9th. Because really that's the back end of next week is when we want to try and wrap this up, having got so our timetable is comments from changes that we've agreed to on this call to be worked on and produced by Friday 2nd. We then have a few days to further review on lists, and then we come back together to meet 7th, 8th, or 9th. The staff, if you could run us a doodle poll for those days, 7th, 8th, 9th, and we'll try and accommodate everyone as best as possible.
Jonathan.
Thanks. We note. Go ahead, Harry.
Thank you. Pardon the interruption. I have the doodle poll for the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Should we still target a two-hour, but hopefully you end in an hour and a half?
Yeah, I think we may even be done in an hour with good speed. So, but certainly let's look for an hour. Let's try and grab an hour slot, because I think this is not a massive meeting. This is about saying, you know, dealing with the final pieces. So perhaps we should doodle for an hour and make it more ready availability. Yeah, let's target an hour.
Thank you, will do.
Thanks, Terry. All right. Well, that gives us a point where we're almost able to make a wrap at the top of the hour, as we've hoped to. Any final comments or questions or issues you'd like to raise? Go ahead.
Jonathan, this is Russ. I don't know if other activities will have a similar constraint, but ESSEC has a very challenging time deciding anything in a week time frame, even is there any showstoppers here. So if we could do 10 days or 2 weeks in that cycle, that would be much more achievable for me with and Lyman and going through the review with ESSEC.
Russ, I think quite a bit longer than that. Just to be, I perhaps wasn't clear enough. The week is simply for this group to decide for ourselves. Are we in to the chartering organisations? I expect I'll come back to you with the worked out timetable. I'll work on something with staff, but I think we're more like 3 or 4 weeks or something for the chartering organisations, or even possibly longer. So we certainly wouldn't expect a chartering organisation to turn that around in a week or 10 days.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. I misunderstood. I thought that there was going to be what I'll call an informal cycle with the chartering organizations, giving them an opportunity to jump up and holler if they saw any showstoppers. But if that was just for our group, a week is fine. Thank you. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Yeah, so I let me see. So we would just to reiterate that timetable, we would by Friday 2nd of September we've put in our comments that we've committed to do on this call. We then meet in approximately 1 week's time to finally review those last changes that hopefully we've had some chance to look at in the interim, and then any further minor changes are made. And on the 12th of September or thereabouts, we send the document out to the chartering organizations and ask them if they have any major concerns. And the time frame for that, possibly by the 30th of September. So there we're talking about maybe a couple of weeks, slightly more than a couple of weeks. It's really, are there any showstoppers here? Are there any significant concerns? And to confirm back to us by 1st of October, such that we could then send it out for potential adoption in the October-November timeframe. But let's circulate the timetable, as Sylvia says, to confirm that and see if there are any concerns. So if you could make an action on chair and staff to circulate an update of the timetable or current version of the timetable, please, David, that will help the others as well, rather than just doing it over the audio. Thanks. I'm just letting David capture that. All right, good. Well, thanks, everyone. That was seemed to me to be a very productive meeting with good input all round, and yet a commitment to getting through the work. So thank you again, and you'll see David's taken some good notes there, so we're in good shape. Thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing you in around about a week's time. Goodbye for now.
Thank you all. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Alan. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Operator Jay, if you could please stop all recording. To everyone else, please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.